We will open our gospel meeting tonight with number 6 on your hymn sheet there. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. Number 6. Some brother would start it. Shall we pray? We're going to sing another hymn, number 9, on your hymn sheet there. Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Number 9. Tonight. Are glad to have this opportunity to present to you the Savior of sinners, the one who came from the glory to unfold the heart of God to you. Every one of you here is responsible to the Lord. You have a never-dying, eternal soul. It may be hanging in the balance today. This may be the night, we hope it is, of decision for the Lord Jesus, so that you can spend your eternity in His presence and not have any fear of passing into the next world. I see there's a lot of boys and girls here, so I've got something here that I'm going to show you at the end of the meeting, not now. So you wait, and you've never seen this before, but it's mentioned in the Bible. So we're going to wait till the meeting ends. It may end early tonight, like Mr. Mearns, but we will see how things go. But I do have a question here for boys and girls. Lord, how much did you love me? Well, that's a simple question. And I hope that by the end of the meeting or before, you'll be able to answer this question. I'm not going to give the answer right now, but We're going to read some scriptures about what the Lord did when He was here on earth, because we are in the day of grace still. Some people think that Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came down, that was the beginning of the day of grace. That's not true. The day of grace began with the Lord's public ministry. And if we turn, as we will, to His message in the synagogue of Nazareth, we will see what the Lord can do. There's power in His word. And here was the Lord Jesus, who had been brought up in the city of Nazareth, kind of a rough place, you know. It didn't have a very good reputation. But there He was, the pure, undefiled Son of God. And He came back to Nazareth because He actually moved to Capernaum. He made His home in Capernaum when He laid aside His carpenter tools, and He went and lived in Capernaum, and He did many miracles there. And He said, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for Capernaum. There's where He lived and labored and performed many miracles in Capernaum, in the north of the country, Galilee. That's where the Lord began His ministry, in Galilee. He was generally looked down on by the people in the south, you know. But we're going to see what the Lord said in His hometown, Capernaum. But we want you to know, again I repeat, that we are in the day of grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. You don't deserve to go to heaven, nor do I. If you see yourself as God sees you, as Simon Peter saw the Lord when His nets were filled to overflowing with fish, and He fell down at the feet of the Lord. And what did He say, Simon Peter? Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Not only did he see the great catch of fish, but he saw the Son of God in His right before him there. The Son of God. That wasn't the conversion of Peter. Peter was converted in chapter 1 of John. That's when he was introduced to the Lord by his brothers Andrew. He brought him to Jesus. That's the purpose of this meeting, dear friend, to bring you to Jesus. We're not asking you to turn over a new leaf. It'll get just as filthy as the other. But we're asking you, and God is asking you, to confess and own your need of a Savior. Simon Peter, there, he met the Lord. That was consecration. He met the Lord in John 1. That was his conversion. Marvelous. When the Lord said to him, thou art Peter, from henceforth thou shalt be called Cephas. Peter thought, how did the Lord know about me? How did he know my name and everything? The Lord knew all about Peter, and he knows all about you tonight. Your life cannot be hid from the Lord. My friend, tonight, the Lord Jesus is waiting with arms outstretched to save you. No matter how great a sinner you might be, there's room in the heart of God for you tonight. There was no room for the Lord when He came to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. And the living bread was born in the town of Bethlehem on the hills the whole heavens were illuminated, and the angels came trooping down. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. The Lord Jesus came down from the glory. You know the story, boys and girls. You know his mother's name, don't you? And there, that babe in the arms of his mother, the eternal Son of God, the creator of the universe, upholding all things by the word of his power. But when it comes to the salvation of your soul, there's more needed than the word of his power. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. But for the salvation of your soul from an eternal hell, it required the death of the Lord Jesus, his blood shed, the sufferings of Calvary. We sometimes hear about Mr. Luther, Martin Luther. He was a great reformer. I guess you boys and girls haven't heard much about Martin Luther, but my wife certainly has, because she is from Lutheran background. But here's a little story. Martin Luther one day had a dream. And in the dream, Satan came. And he had a scroll like this. You know, he had a scroll, and he opened it up like this. Here, Luther, here's your sins. Well, Mr. Luther looked at it, and he couldn't deny that that was a pretty good record of his life. He said, "Satan, is there anything more?" "Oh, yes, I've got more. Here, here's another one." How, Luther, can you ever get to heaven with a record like that? Well, Luther said, "Satan, you've forgotten one thing. I want you to take a pen, a red pen, and I want you to write over all that record there, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Satan had to leave. His mouth was closed. And so, dear friend, tonight, all those sins that have blotted your life can be forgiven. If you are willing to come, just as you are, to the Lord Jesus, who died for you and suffered the judgment, avail yourself of that grace of God tonight, because the time is short. We are on the threshold of the Lord's return. Are you ready? If the Lord comes tonight, I hope he does. I cannot say for sure, but it could be tonight. Would this room be empty? I hope so. I live in Ottawa, the capital of Canada. And I live near a big building where 90% of the money that is made, that is used in Canada, is printed in that building. I pass the place every day. Big iron gates, no tours of that building. One day there was an Italian man, 46 years of age. I forget his name, but I worked a lot among Italian people in Ottawa with the gospel. He was out for a walk with his wife, a beautiful lady, and his family. And he was just crossing over the street there near that bank building, near the superstore where my wife shops. And there was a daredevil, a young man, roaring down Kirkwood Avenue, the police on his tail, running the red lights, came to make a left turn. Hit him, hit this the Italian man, threw him to the ground. There was a doctor in the restaurant nearby. He came out, he got down beside him. Is there any life, any sign of life? Sad to say, it was too late, he was gone. when he woke up that morning, he didn't think that would be his last day on earth, but it was. A great sorrow for that Italian family. We know not what a day may bring forth. Don't reject the gospel of God's grace. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. God is offering you the water of life tonight. Coming down, flowing down from the heart of God. The last invitation in the Bible was this. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Freely, the last invitation. Gordon Hale told me a story about a young man who was in the army. You know, when they were in the army, they were given a New Testament. And he took the New Testament. He didn't read it, but he put it in his uniform here. And he went into the battle. He was on the front lines. The bullets were flying everywhere. And a bullet hit him right here where the New Testament was. And it went right through his uniform, right into the New Testament, and stopped at that verse. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. So Gordon told that story, and he says, that man showed me the New Testament. There it was. The bullet stopped right there at that verse. But still, at that time, he was not saved. What a voice that was to that young man. And so God has salvation for you tonight. Let us turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Chapter 4, this is where we spoke of the Lord being in Nazareth, where he was brought up as a boy, and he comes back again to visit the city, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. He was always found there in God's house. He was not careless about that. He went into the synagogue, and he stood up, and they asked him, "What passage do you want to read today, sir?" Well, he says, "I want you to give me the book of Isaiah." And so he opened up the book of the scroll, and he opened it up, and he read from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And here we have it in chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if you look at that passage in Isaiah, you will find that the Lord did not finish that verse. The rest of that verse is the day of vengeance of our God. The Lord did not quote the whole verse. He stopped at the acceptable year of the Lord, verse 19. Dear friends, tonight we are in the acceptable year of the Lord. We are still in the day of grace. It has gone for 2,000 years, and yet the Lord is waiting in long-suffering mercy, not willing that any should perish. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, I've worked in India many times, and there are many poor people there. And their hearts are open to the gospel. When I go to Brazil, when I go to Brazil, with my wife Eleanor. We every Monday to Friday we go to a restaurant, and this restaurant is not far from our apartment, and there's about 1,000 people there every day, sometimes 1,200, sometimes 1,300, and we get a meal for 25 cents. Sao Paulo is a city of 20 million people. That's about all they can afford, many of them. It's filled with poor people. But we have the privilege of giving the gospel to all of those people. Maybe not all in one day, but we take lots of tracts and calendars. It's very seldom there's a refusal. They are glad to receive it. Precious souls, we give them the living bread. And that's what God wants to give you tonight. Living bread. Living water. The Lord said he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Sometimes I have a little poem that I use here. I guess I've used it before, but I lived in the city of London for some years. And London has a lot of poor people, just like Sao Paulo. They don't have much of this world's goods at all. And here is one poor soul, a lady. She was dying in the city of London. All she had was a blanket. And someone spoke to her. And here's the poem that has been written about that occasion. In the heart of London city, midst the dwelling of the poor, these bright golden words were uttered, "I have Christ, what want I more?" He who heard them ran to fetch her something from the world's great store. It was needless. Died she saying, "I have Christ, what want I more?" That's all that woman had. I mean, in material goods, that blanket that she lay on, but she had eternal life. And she was going to be with the Lord. When she passed away there in London, the Lord lifted her up and took her into heaven. And there she is today. So the Lord is preaching the gospel to the poor. And healing the brokenhearted. That's one thing that no servant of the Lord can do. You can't heal a broken heart. The greatest preacher of the gospel cannot heal a broken heart. And the world is filled with broken, bleeding hearts. Wherever you go, the Lord is the only one that can bring healing, salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. He can heal the brokenhearted, because the Lord was brokenhearted himself when he died on the cross, when he was hanging there on the cross of Calvary. To preach deliverance to the captives. Oh, you say, I'm not a captive. Here I'm sitting in the meeting, an ordinary person. But there are millions who are captives to evil habits. The chains of sin has bound them. Vile dispositions, evil tempers, immorality, drug dealing, captives to sin and death, which comes after it. Appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Sin has blighted the whole universe. It's the worst leprosy that has ever been discovered. Leprosy is a picture of spiritual death. You know, a leper is an awful character to look at. I've visited lepers in Nigeria and in India, but I never touch them. I never shake hands with them. It's a contagious disease, and it's the most loathsome disease of any in this world. A person who has leprosy, they're shut out from society. Out. You cannot be going around the streets. Robben Island is off the coast of South Africa. It's an island some distance out in the ocean there. And if anyone had the spot of leprosy, even one spot on their shoulder or whatever, wherever, they were torn from their families and taken to Robben Island. Oh, what a destiny. 600 lepers. The condition of those people defies description. I can't describe it. They lose their extremities. They lose their hands. They lose their feet. They lose their eyesight. They're covered with ulcers from head to foot. Like we have in Isaiah, from the sole of the foot to the head. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. An awful place. And those people, death working in the body until they cannot even be visited because of the decay of the whole body. Mr. James Fish, a missionary, this will be about the beginning of the 1900s, for 30 years or more, week after week, he visited the lepers on Robben Island. And he writes in his biography, his autobiography, of the many times that he had to preach the gospel and the tears flowed down those lepers' cheeks and their heart was touched and they had nothing to look forward to in this world but death and all the suffering that goes with that disease. But Mr. Fish had the privilege of bringing many of those people to the Lord Jesus. And they bowed the knee to him and were saved in Robben Island and went to be with the Lord for eternity. He says, set at liberty them that are bruised. Well, are you bruised? Well, Satan has bruised all humanity. The whole universe is bruised with sin. From top to bottom, the heavens are unclean in God's sight. But dear friend, there is a remedy. And tonight we want to tell you God's remedy for sin. The Lord came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. If we can just emphasize to you that the arms of the Lord are open and he is inviting you to come. God is a giving God. He is not asking something from you. Here's a story for the children and for all of us. This little boy's name was Albert. And Albert lived in Sweden. That's a country over there in Europe. And his mother was on the bed, very sick, dying. And he thought, I have a few pennies in my pocket, and I live right near those beautiful orchards of the king of Sweden. If only I can get one of those bunches of grapes for my mother and for her to wet her mouth and be a blessing to her. So little Albert went along, and he came to the gate of the royal grounds, and the gardener said, "No, these grapes belong to the king. You cannot have any of them." "But sir, I have some money here." "No, no, they belong to the royal family." Just then, along came a fine-looking young man in uniform, And he saw little Albert with the tears coming down his face. He said, lad, what is wrong? Well, I want to get some of those grapes for mother, but that man won't let me take any. Come in here. Took him by the hand. Come in. He had a knife and he cut down a big bunch of grapes, more than he could almost carry. And Albert was so happy. And the man said, I'm the king's son. My father gives. He does not sell. And so, boys and girls, that's what God is. He's a giver. He wants to give you the forgiveness of sins. He wants to give you eternal life. He's not asking for anything from you. We mentioned Peter there. The Lord borrowed his boat as a pulpit. And there on the sparkling waters of that beautiful lake of Galilee, which I have crossed, there was a multitude of people on the hillsides. And the Lord sat in the boat and he gave a wonderful message to all those people. Peter was listening. He was proud. The Lord is using my boat. But the Lord wouldn't be indebted to anyone. After he had finished, probably he spoke on Matthew 13, I don't know. But it was a wonderful message. And his voice carried over the water to everyone on the hillside. The hills come right down to the water there. It's a beautiful area. The sun sparkling on that lake of Galilee. Now, the Lord said, launch out your nets for a draught. Put down your nets. Oh, Peter was taken aback. But Lord, the Lord is a carpenter, but I don't know if he is a fisherman because, Lord, we've toiled all night. And we haven't taken anything. But at thy word, there was a confession of his failure, but there was also a confession of his faith. At thy word, I will let down the net. But the Lord said, let down the nets. Peter didn't have faith to do that. But he let down one net, and the fish came from all over, and they filled the net until it began to break. And he had to call for his friends, I guess James and John, come and help me get these fish to land. The Lord said to him, when Peter saw that wonderful catch of fish, he realized this person is more than the Son of Man. It's the Son of God. And Peter felt how unworthy he was. He felt that he was a sinner. The Lord brought conviction to Peter at that time. Lord, I'm a sinful man. He didn't think the Lord would accept him, but then he got as close to the Lord as possible. And the Lord said these words, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Fishers of men. Why? Peter could have said, but Lord, this is the best day of fishing that I've ever had. It's flourishing. Business has never been like this before. The Lord had a call. Consecration, we can call this in Luke chapter 5. Consecration. The Lord said, Peter, I have a work for you to do. And as you know from the scriptures, Peter became a wonderful fisherman, no longer on the Lake Galilee, but throughout Palestine. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved by the sermon of Peter. But in Luke 5, he felt how unfit and ungodly he was. He joined places with Job, who said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself in dust and ashes. Job, a righteous man, said those words. Isaiah, the great prophet that we read of in the Old Testament, In fact, the Lord was quoting from the book of Isaiah here. When he got into the presence of the Lord there in Luke chapter 6, he was humbled. He said, when the Lord, he heard the words, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, he felt just like Peter, I'm not fit for the presence of this holy God. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord. Tonight, dear friends, you're not going to see the Lord in person, but by faith, you can look to Him there. He's sitting at the right hand of God. There He is inviting you to come as you are. Isaiah, how was Isaiah saved? Well, there was an altar there, and there was a sacrifice on the altar, and there was an angel, and the angel took a burning coal, lifted it up, and brought it over and put it on the lips of Isaiah. And he said, now is thine iniquity cleansed and taken away. By that, it brings before us, there had to be a sacrifice before Isaiah could be made fit for the presence of God. And you, my friend, need a sacrifice. You need salvation. You need forgiveness. You need to be born again. Today is the day of salvation, and the pardon is going out. Tonight in this hall and throughout the world, God has a pardon. You know, the Lord didn't preach judgment and condemnation to Peter. He didn't preach those things. We do that often. The Lord didn't. Do you know what it was that saved Peter? The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And Peter, he was melted by the goodness of the Lord that would fill his net to overflowing. And he gave his heart and life, consecrated himself to the Lord Jesus. And he became one of the greatest evangelists and apostles the world has ever seen. 150 years ago, there was a man, his name was George Wilson. He was convicted of robbing the mails and murder. He was before the judge, execution on a certain date. We're going to hang that man. Well, in some way, Andrew Jackson, the president of the United States at that time, he wrote a pardon for this character. He wrote it. There it was, signed with the king's seal. And there was George Wilson in the cell, going to be executed on a certain date. And they brought him the pardon. Do you know what he did? He threw it away. Threw away a pardon? His life could have been saved? That's what he did. Well, Andrew Jackson said, well, I don't know what we can do. There's a pardon for this man. How can we hang him? So they went to the Chief Justice Marshal, and they explained it to him. They said, here, this man is going to be executed. The date is set, but a pardon has been written for him by the president. He's refused it. Chief Justice Marshall said, a pardon is a piece of paper. We don't expect anyone to refuse it, but if they refuse it, it has no more validity. It has no more power. George Wilson was hanged with a pardon on the table. God has a pardon for you tonight. He's offering you the forgiveness of all your sins. You don't need to go on another hour without Christ and without God. It's the Lord's desire that you would accept the pardon. It's paid for by the precious blood of Christ. Let me take you to Calvary. There, the Son of God between two thieves, His arms outstretched, all the humiliation that He endured, spit upon, crowned with thorns, scourged in His back, His hair pulled off, yet He never said a word of rebuke or complaint. And then, the hours of darkness, at 12 o'clock, the hours of darkness, the whole earth became dark, and we can't see what happened there. We know that our sins, those who believe on the Lord Jesus, that heavy load of my sins, filthy sins, taken from me, put on the head of the Lord Jesus. The hours of darkness He suffered, stroke after stroke, as God's wrath awoke, fell upon the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, the spotless Lamb of God. Remember what John the Baptist said? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And later on, he said, behold the Lamb of God. He found all the moral beauty in the Lord Jesus. And he lost two disciples. Peter and Andrew, I think it was, left John. Or was it John and James? I'm not sure. But he lost two disciples who left John the Baptist and went and spent 2 hours with the Lord. You can see it in John chapter 1. Well, it was an eclipse in the life of Simon Peter. You know what an eclipse is? It's a shadow from the moon that cuts off the light of the sun. The sun is shining brightly, but the eclipse, it cuts off the light. And I think that in Simon Peter's life there in Luke chapter 5, an eclipse occurred. Everything was given up for Christ. He didn't want the world and all its pleasures. He had eternal life and the true source of joy and peace and rest. And he accepted it, that pardon that the Lord had offered to him. Well, time is going here, and we want you to know that the Lord is waiting today to save you. I've told this story before, but not here. I often enjoy reading about George Whitefield. He lived in the 1700s. He was a great field preacher. Moorfields in England, outside of London. Every morning, George Whitefield was there at 5 o'clock, preaching to the miners who are coming up or going down. Black faces, great crowds. No microphone. George Whitefield sounded out the gospel, and the tears ran down those poor miners' faces as he unfolded the love of God. And he said, the Lord is able to even save the devil's castaways. Lady Huntingdon was a supporter of George Whitefield. She was a lady of nobility. She had lots of money. And she spent a lot of it to encourage the gospel going forth through the evangelists. She was a great friend of George Whitefield. But she said, Mr. Whitefield, I don't think that is quite reverent for you to say that. I don't know if that is becoming. The Lord can save even the devil's castaways. Well, Mr. Whitefield humbly accepted the rebuke. Shortly after, he found a man that had been saved through his preaching, he said, "Sir, come here. I want you to go to Lady Huntingdon's house, or palace, and tell her how you were saved." "Well, all right, but I'm just a very poor laborer." But he went to the palace, and Lady Huntingdon came to the door, and he said, "Mr. Whitfield has sent me to tell you how I was converted. Come in." "I was in the depths of sin. I was a blasphemer. I was a drunkard. I was wretched beyond words. There's no use living anymore. I'm going to go down to River Thames and end it all. Hell couldn't be any worse than this." So as he made his way down to River Thames to take his own life, he turned the corner. There was George Whitfield, sounding forth the word in his booming voice. He stopped and he listened, and he heard him say, "It doesn't matter how wicked you are, the Lord can save even the devil's castaways." "Well," he said, "I'm one of those for sure." And right there, he bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus, and the burden of sin was lifted, and he was saved. So the next time Lady Huntingdon met Mr. Whitfield, she said, "Continue, Mr. Whitfield, to give the message to the devil's castaways. I can see that he is able to save to the uttermost." Another poem in closing. "You've carried your burden. You've carried it long. Oh, bring it to Jesus. He's loving and strong. He'll take it away, and your sorrows shall cease. He'll send you rejoicing with his heavenly peace." Do you have that heavenly peace, dear friends? We've come to the end of the meeting. But have you made the decision for the Lord Jesus? Have you bowed the knee to him? An evangelist's work is to bring souls to Christ. Only the Lord can save. And we bring the Lord to you tonight, the one who has power to save to the uttermost, the rock of ages, cleft for sin, the one who suffered the judgment of God to save you from a lost eternity. I told you, I was going to show you what's in this bag here. I don't think you've ever seen this before. My wife is a Brazilian, as most people know. So I spend months in Brazil. And some years ago, we were visiting in the south of Brazil, going around touching the assemblies and having fellowship and little ministry. And we stopped at a place called Ametista. Ametista. That means amethyst in English. And we stopped at a brother's home for supper and a little meeting. And we stayed overnight. And he says, "I want to give you a souvenir of what we mine in Ametista." He and many others, brothers I think, their living is this: bringing up these stones, which are not cut like this, they're one stone, and in some way the water gets into the stone and it crystallizes these beautiful amethyst crystals. Any girl that wants to have one, if you can get it out for your bracelet or your ring, you can have it. But it's very difficult. They get them out. They bring them up. They mine them. That's their livelihood. They mine them. They cut them open. And they take them out and make, well, whatever, bracelets, rings, and so on. And he says, "You can have that." So we said, "Thank you." Amethyst was one of the rocks on the breastplate of the high priest. You'll read it there in Exodus 28, 29. And you can come and see this after. If you can get one of these crystals out, you can have it. Well, may the Lord bless His Word. I guess the time is up, and we will sing a short hymn before we go. Number 32, we'll sing the first and last verses. Some brother would start it. Number 32, what can wash away my sins?
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Pray, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The far country is heaven. The good news, the Lord Jesus came to earth to proclaim this gospel. It was first preached on the hills of Bethlehem, and it's preached to you tonight. Now, the answer to this question here, who's going to answer this question? Can you read it? This boy, can you read this question for me?
Lord, how much did you love me?
Very good. But what's the answer to that? Well, I'll have to tell you because time is gone here. The Lord loved us so much, so you boys and girls so much, that He stretched out His hands and died for you. That's what we have tried to explain this evening. How much the Lord loved you that He would stretch out His hands and die on the cross to save you eternally. Shall we pray?